we need to make before we move into prayer. Anybody know of anything we need to announce? You got one? Come on up, bud. Oh, okay. I sure will. All right, Miss Ann said thank you for the prayers. We love you. We're going to keep praying for you and Miss Carrie. All right. This card says, I'm so thankful for all the warmth, care, and love that God put into your heart. Dear church family, we are so privileged to be a part of such a loving and caring church. Thank you for the calls, cards, and prayers. Each and every one was very special. Love in Christ, Gary and Maxine. So love y'all. Thank you. And we're going to keep praying for you as you continue to heal. So, all right. Any other announcements? Okay. I want to share a couple prayer requests before we get into worship. Remember Carolyn and Marlon and their family. Their niece, Michelle, passed away. And so we want to be in prayer for them and for the whole family. And we love you. We'll be here for you in any way that we can, and we're going to continue to pray and lift you up. So remember their family. Martha is still in the hospital. She was supposed to have to go down to the OR and have some incisions sewed up today. That's one step closer to her getting to come home. She had a blood clot removed from her leg. So she had been in a lot of pain. But Miriam, her friend and neighbor, her and Johnny are really good friends of Martha, and they take good care of her. Miriam said this morning that she'd had another good night. So if you've ever stayed in the hospital, it's not easy to have a good night in the hospital with all those interruptions. It's hard to have a good night's sleep. So she's had a couple good nights in a row. We're thankful for that. And we love Martha, and can't wait to see her back here. So continue to pray for her. And then Melissa Crabtree, I know her and Eddie are watching on Facebook. She's feeling weak this morning, and that's completely understandable with the treatments that she's undergoing, but she never fails to have a positive attitude about it. It's really inspiring for anybody that talks to her the way she's handling this. So continue to pray for her and Eddie. Any other prayer requests that we need to lift up? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so she said, remember Jean Holcomb. She's having a PET scan done tomorrow. And then, did you say Thursday? Thursday, you're going in for carpal tunnel outpatient? Yeah, okay. So we definitely want to remember those. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so remember Miss Imogene with the results from a PET scan. We're just praying that that they'll be able to take good care of her. Mike? Yeah, Mike said remember the country, pray for everything that's going on. We definitely need to seek the Lord's wisdom and his healing and everything that's going on. Yes, ma'am. Becky's friend Ed Trammell, she's asking us just to pray for him. So that's a don't have specifics on that, but just be in prayer for him. Any others? Okay. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so good to be in your house. We're so glad to be in your house. And you are so good to us to allow us to be here. God, I pray, Lord, that everything that we say and everything that we do today would glorify you, be pleasing unto you. I pray, Lord, that God, that you just move among your people and do what only you can do in each of our hearts, in this community, in this country, in this world. Lord, we need a touch from you. We need a move of your spirit. We're praying for personal revival and corporate revival, worldwide revival. This world needs to realize that the only hope that any of us have is in you. So God, be glorified today. I pray, Lord, as we sing, God, that you would be pleased and that we would be encouraged, and then speak to us from your word. I pray that you would bring comfort to those that are grieving. I pray that you bring healing to those that are sick and dealing with health issues, and for the unspoken requests that we don't know specifics about, Lord, you know every detail. You're already at work. We ask you to continue to work and continue to do what only you can do. We love you, Lord. It's good for us to be here together in your house, in your presence. Be glorified today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Robert.
All right. Good to see everybody today. We got the biggest crowd that we've had. So good to see you. Welcome back. The first song we're going to start singing today is I Will Bless the Lord. How many of you looked at any kind of news this morning before you came to church? Was it uplifting, magnifying? Did it raise your spirits and make you feel better? That's it. Hey, I am a worrier. Always have been, always will be. It's something I have to fight. And sometimes it just really gets to me. So I have to try to figure out how to not do that. And it is in the Lord. And today we want to lift him up. When I'm of myself, I worry. When I'm of him, I give all the problems, all the needs. You know, he's controlling this world. He's handling Atlanta today. He was handling Minnesota the other time. It looks like not, but he is. And we have to trust him today. So let's get lost. Let's forget about all our junk, all our troubles, all the stuff's going on, and let's worship him today, okay? And stand if you would.
I will bless the Lord and give him glory. Oh, I will bless his name and give him glory.
Today is going to be how great thou art. How great thou art. And let's sing it. Let's forget our stuff. And let's praise our Lord, okay? If I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me.
Oh, Lord my God, when I am also how great thou art.
In this world in your hands. And Lord, we must trust you. We must get out of worry and doubt and fear. And Lord, raise you up, lift you up, magnify you, show you to a world who terribly needs to know about you. Bless the pastor as he comes today to bring your word. And Lord, touch our hearts and lives. Change us where we need to be changed. And then Lord, save that person that might be here today that knows you not. Forgive us of our sins and errors, in Jesus' name. Amen. grab your books. We don't have the words for the screen on this one. Keegan couldn't find them in our setup, so it's number 320. It's kind of a course here. Y'all can sit down if you'd like. Fears. The song we're going to sing is He Keeps Me Singing. He's the one that can do it. There's nothing else that can, folks, but Jesus can. We're going to do all five verses of it. And stand on this one, if you would. This will be our offertory.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus was first sweet and bold. Across the broken tree, turn the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing in my heart, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting in the sheltering creek, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Listen to the words on this one. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials tossed across my way. Though sometimes a path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, as I go. Would the ushers come forward?
Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sun. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high.
second. I'm sorry. Wrong page. Excuse me. I got to make a blunder somewhere along the line. You know? You are here.
I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here. Turning lives around, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart, I worship you, yeah. In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Y'all, that was some good singing that y'all did. I love hearing that. I love worshiping the Lord with y'all, so good to be here. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, go ahead and open up with me to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. We are finishing up our sermon series on the book of Jonah today. It's been a good series so far. And I'm excited for us to look at chapter 4 together. So far, we've seen Jonah running from God in chapter 1. We've seen Jonah turn back to God in prayer and repentance in chapter 2. Then we've seen Jonah obeying God and completing the mission God gave him in chapter 3. So in chapter 4, it's kind of surprising where we find Jonah. and how we find Jonah. In chapter 4, we're going to see that Jonah is angry and depressed. And this is a strange reaction considering he has just delivered a message from God to thousands of people, and thousands of people responded positively, and yet he goes away angry and depressed. That's not the typical response for a preacher. If you preach and people respond, that's a good thing. That's a good feeling, right? Something was up with Jonah. Something was wrong with Jonah. We're going to see exactly what that was as we work through chapter 4. So I'm calling this sermon, the final sermon in the series, On His Mind. And all of the other sermons have had similar titles. We've had On the Run, On a Knee, and On a Mission. But all three of those were from the perspective of Jonah. Jonah was on the run. Jonah was on his knees, and Jonah was on a mission. But with On His Mind, that's from God's perspective. See, Jonah was on God's mind. He had just seen the Ninevites repent, but he was still concerned with Jonah. And he wanted to help Jonah to see that in God's eyes, all people are valuable. And that was a good, relevant message back then, and that's a really relevant message today with everything that our country is going through. The world needs to know that all people, every kind of person, is valuable in God's eyes. And listen, as Christians, as followers of Christ, that means if God loves all people, then Christians love all people. Amen? Right? We follow Him. We follow His lead. We do what we see Him do it. And He loves all people. And so we're called to love all people as well. Okay. So with that in mind, let's take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer before we read through Jonah chapter 4. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. It is inerrant. It is inspired. It is unchanging. It is alive. And it is good for us. It is so good for us to be in Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would just give us ears to hear and hearts to obey everything that You would speak to us today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would guide me, that I would not say anything that doesn't come from You and doesn't represent You. We're not here to hear a message from a preacher. We want to hear a message from You, Lord. So speak to us through Your Word. Thank You for Your Word. We love You, and it's in Your name we pray. Amen. All right, Jonah chapter 4. I'm going to read it for us. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. Actually, let me back up to the end of chapter 3. When God saw what they did, they being the Ninevites, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster. Remember, He had said, 40 days and I'm going to destroy you. He relented of the disaster He had said He would do to them, and He did not do it. So now, chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? In other words, Jonah is like, didn't I tell you, God? Didn't I say this was going to happen? It's kind of amazing, his perspective here. He says, that's why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. In other words, that's why I did what I did. God, he feels justified in running from God because the Ninevites did exactly what he was afraid they were going to do. They repented. And so he feels justified. It's crazy. He says, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. He's describing the characteristics of God, but to him they're a negative. Because they led him to forgive these people that Jonah didn't think deserved forgiveness. So he's listing off attributes almost like they're a bad thing. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city, and he sat to the east of the city, and he made a booth for himself there. Some people have called Jonah the pouting prophet. That's pretty spot on. The pouting prophet. He's going to go set up a spot and wait and watch and hope that something happens and the Ninevites get what they had coming. He's just hoping, right? All right, I'm going to stop commentating and just read, okay? He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed... You should go sometime through the book of Jonah and just make a mark every time it says God appointed. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, he asked him another question, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Kind of an interesting way to end the book of Jonah. He ends it on a question. It really seemed like everything was set up to end on a good note in chapter 3. Like, you kind of wonder, why didn't the book of Jonah just end with chapter 3? The Ninevites repent? Yay, everybody's happy. Right? Jonah had answered the Lord's call to go and preach, and the Ninevites repented. And that seemed like a great place for us, and they all lived happily ever after, right? But that's not what it says. If a Hollywood script writer was writing this thing up, there would have been a shot of Jonah walking away, and the Ninevites celebrating, and the screen would have faded to black, and then happy music would have come up, and the credits would have rolled, right? Into chapter 3. But nope, here comes chapter 4. The story doesn't end with chapter 3. God had more to say and more to teach his followers through this interaction with Jonah. That's why we have a chapter 4. All right, so I want to share two takeaways from chapter 4. And then I want to wrap up the whole series with one final takeaway from the entire book. So that's three things for us to leave here today: understanding about God's interaction with Jonah, and understanding why those things are still important for us today. All right? So here's the first one. God loves the multitudes and the individual. God loves the nations, and God loves you, and you, and you, and all of you, and me, and all of you on Facebook. God loves the many, and he also loves each one. And this truth comes through so clear in Jonah, in the book of Jonah, especially in chapter 4. If God was only concerned with the multitude, he'd have been perfectly fine with the Ninevites repenting and Jonah going away angry and depressed, right? The many are repenting, so everything's good. Who cares about Jonah if he just cared about the multitude? But God cares about the multitude and the individual. God takes the time in chapter 4 to talk with Jonah because God loves the nations and God loves each person. God has just seen some of the most evil, wicked people that have ever lived repent so that they could avoid destruction. Now, last week when we were talking about chapter 3, we did say that we don't know that they repented for salvation. It doesn't say that. We hope that they did. We hope some of them did. But we do know that they didn't want to be destroyed in 40 days, so they repented, right? And even though that had just happened, God still focuses on Jonah. God could see that Jonah was struggling with God's mercy and grace being given to the Ninevites. So God takes the time to help Jonah see things from his perspective. God does this by asking Jonah several questions, right? He says, is it right for you to be angry? Referring to the Ninevites repenting. Then he says, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Right? You didn't help grow it. You didn't bring it about. It was here in one night, gone the next night, and you're angry about that. Is it right for you to be angry about that? And then chapter 4 ends with God asking, should I not show pity to Nineveh? These questions were asked to help Jonah to see that God was just and right in showing mercy to the Ninevites. Now, this is certainly not the only time in Scripture that God shows the value of both the many and the one. The parable of the lost sheep, that's found in both Matthew and Luke's gospel. That imagery of Jesus as the shepherd and mankind as the sheep, that's a powerful image. The shepherd takes care of the entire flock. Why? Because the entire flock is important, right? But the shepherd also is willing to leave the entire flock and go and search for the one that is lost. Why? Because the one is important as well. Listen to Luke 15, 3 through 7. It says, so he told them this parable. This is Jesus speaking. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So aren't you thankful that we have a shepherd that's willing to leave the multitude and go out and search and find the one that is lost? See, at one time, that lost sheep, that was you, and that was me. Maybe it still is you today if you're here and you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus. Maybe you're still that lost sheep. And part of the reason that you're here today is because God is still seeking after you. He's calling after you. He's drawing you to himself. I was certainly a lost sheep, but God sought me out and he saved me. I'm so thankful that he did. I'm so thankful that God wants all to come to repentance. He doesn't just say, well, who cares about him? Who cares about her? I've got all these. No, he wants all to come to repentance. God created all people in his image, and he wants all of us to have a saving relationship with him. And so God patiently talked with Jonah, and he even used a visual illustration with the plant to kind of help Jonah understand. But Jonah showed more concern for the plant than he did for the people of Nineveh. God wanted Jonah to see how absurd that was, so that he could better understand why God lovingly offers grace and mercy to all who repent. God loves the multitudes, and he loves each individual. If you're thankful for that, let me hear somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, here's the second takeaway from Jonah chapter 4. Jonah's problem, I told y'all something was wrong with Jonah. Here's what it was. Jonah's problem was a lack of compassion for other people. Jonah lacked compassion specifically for the Ninevites. Jonah's head was in the right place in chapter 2 when he prayed and repented. And then in chapter 3 when he went and obeyed. But his heart was still messed up. Did you know it is entirely possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason? Did you know it is entirely possible to obey some of God's commands without loving God and loving people? Well, we can follow some rules and not ever love God or love people. That's possible. Maybe you've heard a statement like this before regarding the difference between knowing God and knowing about God. The longest journey is the 18 inches from your head to your heart. That's the longest journey in salvation, because guess what? Even the demons know who God is. They know about God, but they don't know God. They don't have that saving relationship with Him, right? There's lots of people who could tell you things about God, who could tell you, quote, scriptures, right? But it's never went from here to here. It sure seems to me that Jonah's mind was able to process what God called him to do, but his heart couldn't handle the result. Jonah over and over again said that he had rather been dead than to live to see the Ninevites receive God's mercy. That seems incredible when you say it out loud, but I wonder how many times you and I have thought and acted in a similar way. I've never wished I was dead before, but I have certainly felt in my heart that some people didn't deserve God's grace. I've certainly lacked compassion for people that God was calling me to show compassion to. I've certainly been slow to forgive others when God is always quick to forgive me, right? Maybe you'd have to agree that you've been guilty of some of those same things in your life. What causes us to think and act that way? What causes us to lack compassion for other people? It's a heart problem. It comes from the wisdom and knowledge that God reveals to us in Scripture, making it into our heads but never making it down into our hearts. It's a heart problem. It was the Ninevites for Jonah. Who is it for you? Who is it for me? Who is it that I struggle to show compassion to? Heck, sometimes I don't struggle. Heck, sometimes I just refuse to show compassion, right? Who is it for you? Who do you and I lack compassion for? See, God is lovingly and patiently trying to get us to see that we need to show His love to these people instead of withholding compassion from them. That's what He's calling us to do, to love. We live in a messed up world. Anybody agree with that? It's a pretty messed up world. There's a lot of hurting people in the world today, in and out of the church. What an opportunity for the church to step up and lead the way in showing love instead of showing hate. What an opportunity. God wants to use His people to show the world a better way. The question is, will we allow God to shine His light through us? Or will we hold on to all the worldly thoughts and feelings and actions that contribute to the darkness of this world? There's a song many of us sang as kids about letting our light shine. Right? You probably know what it is. Will we actually follow through with that as adults and let our light shine? Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Right? That's not just a children's song. That's how a Christian is supposed to live. That's the reason we teach it to kids when they're young, is so they'll know to live it out when they're adults, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Jonah's problem was a lack of compassion for others. Let's make sure we don't make that same mistake, church. Okay, so that was two takeaways from Jonah chapter 4. Now, the big takeaway from the entire book of Jonah is this: God is in control. It may not feel like anybody's in control in your life or in the world that we're living in, but I hope that it encourages you today to know that God is still in control. It's all there for us to see throughout the book of Jonah. God appointed Jonah to bring His message to the Ninevites. God appointed the storm to come as Jonah was on the boat fleeing to Tarshish. God appointed the big fish to swallow Jonah up when he was down deep in the sea. God appointed the plant to grow tall and provide shade for Jonah. God appointed the worm to attack the plant so that it would wither and die. God appointed the scorching east wind to make the heat unbearable for Jonah. At every point of the events we read about in the book of Jonah, God is 100% completely in control, and he still is today. Now, it's an understandable question to ask, and many people, including myself, have asked this question before. God, if you're in control, how can so many horrible things happen? Why do awful things happen to seemingly nice people? It's one of the hardest realities to understand. See, God is holy and good and completely in control, and yet so many wicked things happen every day. Right? It's especially hard to understand because our view is limited. Right? We can only see what's going on now. But God exists outside of time, and his view is not limited in any way. See, God is holy. Mankind is not holy. Our nature is corrupted by sin. Because of that corruption, there are many evil things that happen in the world every day. Things that break our hearts. Things that cause us to be afraid. Things that make us want to scream out in anger and frustration. But the world as we know it, corrupted by sin, this world has an expiration date. Someday this world, as we know it, is going to be changed. And sin and death and evil and all the horrible things that we see about on the news every day, all those things are going to come to an end. I don't know when. Nobody but God knows when. But someday in the future, sin's going to be defeated forever. Everybody who's ever lived is going to be judged for their sins, right? Those who confess and repent and trust in Jesus' death and resurrection to pay the debt for their sins, they're going to live eternally in the presence of God in heaven. Those who refuse to repent, those who reject what Jesus did for them on the cross, are going to live eternally separated from God's presence in hell. Now, in the midst of the pain that we feel and we see in the world around us every day, it might not seem like a lot of comfort to hear that someday things are going to be better. Someday things are going to be made right. Right? That may not do a whole lot for today's hurt and today's pain. I understand that. I get that. I felt that. But that is where faith comes in. Faith is so important. God has clearly told us in his word that he loves us, he's in control, and he's working all things out for the good of those who love him. So even when everything seems hopeless, the faithful have hope in Jesus. Amen? We have to hold on to that. See, it's just a part of life. Everybody that lives will eventually have to face pain and sadness and loss. Right? But it's in those moments, the moments that we call walking through the valley, right? That's when we have to look up to where our help comes from. The Psalms describe God as the lifter of our heads. That's one of my favorite descriptions of God. God is a good, good Father. He's the lifter of our heads. When our heads are hanging down in despair and shame and anger and frustration, God lifts our heads. Just like a mom or a dad might do for a child. He's our Heavenly Father, and he's the lifter of our heads. God is good, and God loves you. He is in control, so keep the faith. Trust in him, even when you can't see anything but darkness around you. Right? God is the light, and the light is coming back one day to put an end to evil and wickedness forever. So if you believe that God is in control, I want you to say that with me. God is in control. Okay, that was about a 2 out of 10. I want you to say it with enthusiasm. I want you to say it just like you'd say Roll Tide or War Eagle. All right? If we was at a football game, I wouldn't have to ask y'all to wake up and cheer. All right? Y'all ready? One, two, three. God is in control. Much better. Much better. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes the devil pounds us over the head with all the bad stuff in the world, hoping that it is going to cause us to become frozen in fear. That's what he wants. The devil wants us to be so fixed on the present and the troubles that we're having now that we forget that we have a future hope that nobody can take away from us. Well, I want us to celebrate the fact that God is in control in song together. So Robert and Diane, I'm going to ask y'all to come back up. They're going to lead us in singing I'll Fly Away, one of my favorite songs. And I want to ask everybody that's able to stand. If you're not able to, you can sing from where you're sitting. But I want you to get your voices ready to sing. I want you to get your hands all loosened up, ready to clap. I want you to get your faces ready to smile. Right? We're not at a funeral. We need to smile and enjoy worshiping the Lord. Let's get our hearts ready to rejoice and worship. Things are chaotic and crazy in life right now. But some glad morning when this life is over, what? We're gonna go into God's presence. That's worth getting happy about now. We don't have to wait till it happens. We can rejoice. We can praise God and celebrate that fact today. We have a hope that the world cannot take away. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Robert.
Okay.
Somewhere morning when this life is over, I'll fly away, fly away. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away. When the shadow of this life has gone, I'll fly away, fly away. Like the bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away, fly away. To a land where joy shall never end, I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away, fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away.
Amen. Thank you, Robert. Diane, thank y'all. That was good. Brother Gary, you wasn't clapping. What happened? Gary's got a if you hadn't seen Gary, he's got a big old sling on his arm. I'm just kidding. You know I'm going to pick on you, Gary. All right, so instead of the traditional invitation time that we're going to have, we're about to have a 10-minute break between the service and the business meeting. So if you want to respond in any way, if you want to ask a question, if you need prayer over an issue, if you're interested in joining the church, setting up baptism, whatever it might be, just come and see me during this break time that we're about to have. And then in about 10 minutes, we'll start and have a short business meeting, okay? Let's pray before we're finished. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the hope that we can only find in you, God. Help us to live with joy. Help us, God, to hold on to the hope that we have that nobody can take away, and that's found in you, Lord. I pray that you were glorified today. I pray that you would make us more like you through this time together, and that we would leave here better equipped to live out what you've called us to do, Lord. We We love you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen.